We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Hello and welcome back, you guys. This is your co-host, Justine Mader, and I am beyond stoked, elated, excited, so amped up because we have the one, the only Jim Quick in the room to celebrate the 100th episode of the Virtually Limitless podcast, you guys. If you have not heard of this incredible human being, I would love to give you just a little taste of what he has accomplished, not only through his life mission of taking, you know, his mess and creating a message, writing a book, influencing people in over 195 countries with his knowledge and expertise. This gentleman has a heart of gold. He's been amazing to talk to, even just before we got on screen, you guys. He's incredible, and I'm so excited to have him in the room. Jim, welcome to the Virtually Limitless family.
Oh, thank you. And congratulations on 100 episodes.
Thank you. Oh, it's so crazy. You know, it's one of those milestones that you think you're never going to hit, and then it's like, we did it.
We did it,
you guys. Like, oh my gosh. And I would love to hear, like, you have a podcast, and, you know, being the knowledge just connoisseur that you are in your life and business, I would love to know, you know, in the podcasting industry, what was it like to start a podcast and start sharing your message in more of that audio format? I would love to hear that from you, Jim.
Yeah, that's such a great question. You know, no one knows this because we haven't talked about it, but I didn't intend to do a podcast. We have whether it's on social media or emails or people calling in, we get the same questions often. Mm-hmm. And it'll always be like, how do you remember names? Or what are the best brain foods? How do you change your habits? You know, how do you optimize your sleep? How do you read faster, learn languages? And so I actually, the first 5 or 6 episodes weren't, I didn't even know they were going to turn into a podcast. My team, I would record it right on my phone on my voice memo, because we would get the same questions, and I would, you know, just kind of give the answer on an audio format, and I send it to my team, and my team's like, oh, this is pretty good. I mean, the quality wasn't so great the first few episodes,
Sure.
but they uploaded it and, you know, put some, you know, bookends on it, and it just kind of took off. And now it's, you know, tens of millions of downloads later. You know, it's a fun show. It's 10 to 20 minutes max. And it's just me sharing some practical brain bites for people that are very digestible.
That's so incredible. And I think, you know, you're such a huge example. I think people are like, you know, what is my next step? Showing up to serve is going to show you your next step. You were serving and you didn't realize that it was going to, you know, turn into a new opportunity that yes, now it's tens of millions, like all over the world, but you showed up ready to serve. And that's how you were choosing to serve, was through that, you know, audio format. And I love voice text. I do that all the time. So I totally resonate with that, which is why I've had so much fun with this podcast as well.
Yeah.
But I love, and I have to ask, I saw your cell phone cover. Was that Spider-Man or Iron Man? I cannot see what it was.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's actually, I asked Stan Lee one time, who's his favorite superhero. And he said, Iron Man. So this is an Iron Man.
That's so cool. You guys, I know you're not all listening with the video necessarily, but I had to ask. I love, and my team knows that I dance around like Wonder Woman all the time. So I love that so much. but I have to continue this conversation. When we're showing up to serve and we don't necessarily know what serving looks like, I would love to know, for the child that had an injury, you know, back in the day, when did that desire for serving come about? Was there a moment? Was there a story? Was it, you know, just kind of like a slam where you're like, oh my gosh, I got to do this. Like, how did that happen for you, Jim, for people to hear?
You know, my inspiration was really my desperation. You know, as you talked about taking your mess and turning it into your message.
Absolutely.
You know, when people see kind of the work in progress that I am, when I'm on stages or something doing these memory feats, like memorizing a room full of people's names or just, you know, just random stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah, people, they're surprised to hear that I had, you know, traumatic brain injuries and learning difficulties through school. Mm-hmm. And I think my, and I, my two favorite things to talk about are brains and superheroes.
Yes.
And I think brains are like the ultimate superpower. I mean, just everyone listening, imagine we were born with an incredible superpower, but we weren't told that we were, or we weren't shown how to access it, right? What if we had this incredible power, but we didn't know we had it? And so I wrote Limitless to be an owner's manual for that superpower, which is the brain.
Yes.
But I think my superpower growing up as a kid was really being invisible. It was, you know, when you don't have the answers, when it takes you years longer to learn how to read and you can't focus and remember things, I didn't have the answers. So I didn't really want the spotlight. I didn't want to be called on in class. I would sit behind a tall kid. I would sit all the way in the back. I would shrink down, right? Become very small. And, but because I was suffering so much, I think it developed another superpower, which was empathy, meaning that some of the people who have been hurt the most or disenfranchised, or, you know, I was labeled broken by one of my teachers when I was a child, you know, you start looking at people who are suffering and struggling and you know what it feels like. Yes. And I think it's important because I think it makes you more sensitive to where people are. That at any moment you could be walking down the street and pass somebody and they could be fighting the battle of their lives and we wouldn't know the difference. And so I think kindness is so important. Mm. But I know what it's like to struggle in those areas. And absolutely. So when I teach, I feel, you know, people feel whether it's uncomfortable or insecure, they might not feel confident. They might feel overwhelmed or distracted and all those things. And I know what it feels like. And I really do my work because I feel a moral obligation to serve, like you were talking about, because I could think of a lot of different ways of people can make a living and earn an income. But, you know, this is really still, I'm actually still pretty introverted and, you know, pretty shy, still having those kind of grown with that upbringing. Yes. And so being on camera often and on stages and it's still a little bit not as comfortable as maybe it looks, but I do it because, you know, shame on me if I could help somebody who's struggling and suffering the way I was and I didn't do anything about it. And I think adversity could be an advantage in that way, that our struggles could lead to strengths and superpowers. But it's kind of interesting that my two biggest challenges growing up were learning and public speaking. Because that's so the universe incredible. Has a sense of humor because
oh my gosh, yes. I speak on learning. Oh, that's so incredible. And there's so many points that I wanted to touch on, but the number one that I have to share with you guys is your pain became your power. And you didn't realize that that was going to be your, not only your story, but your impact on the world. And a huge reason why I've resonated with your message and been so grateful to be having this conversation with you is because I had a near-death experience. And it was one of those things that was out of my control, not here for pity, but it was one of those moments where I had to ask myself, if I don't show up, somebody somewhere someday is not going to become the best version of themselves because I didn't give them the other puzzle piece. Right? You know, if we're all a part of this masterpiece, and I think that you've embodied that so incredibly because it's still uncomfortable. I call myself an introverted extrovert, a hybrid, because there's times like these where it's like, you know what? Got to get on camera, got to have a great time, but sometimes it's just not comfortable. And if you guys can imagine, I have Jim Quick in my Zoom room, so it's kind of incredible at this moment. So it's one of those things where when you're able to make that intentional choice, Jim, I want to talk to you about that. Life comes down to choices and us being able to look at things that we want to actually achieve. Like, what is this choice going to result in? And when we're talking about multitasking and praising the busy person, a lot of our listeners, like I shared with you earlier, are 6, 7, 8-figure entrepreneurs that are looking to scale and break through that ceiling. Like, how would you encourage someone to just cancel out the noise and focus on the choices that they're making to actually create the future that they're looking to have? How can we pick your brain on that topic?
Yeah, let's unpack that. So I love what you talk about, the power of choices. You know, I have this quote that I quote often from a French philosopher in my book that says, life is C between B and D. Life is C between B and D. B stands for birth, D stands for death. C, life, choice.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, it's kind of like we are right now in our lives the sum total of the choices we've made up to this point, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, who are we going to spend time with? Where are we going to live? Where are we going to focus on? What are we going to read or feed our mind or body or anything like that? And, you know, I always tell people that these difficult times, they could define us, or these difficult times can diminish us, or these difficult times can develop us. We decide, right? We always decide because we have that, those choices. And so one of the choices that we can make always is what to focus on, you know, or whether to focus on anything. And, you know, it's tough nowadays because people are drowning in information. It feels like you're taking a sip of water out of a fire hose just as an entrepreneur. And, you know, there's podcasts and YouTube and all these books and Clubhouse and all these different things, right?
Yes.
Like, and so we're always training our mind. Whatever we're doing the most often, we're getting better at. And one of the things that the research we talked about in Limitless is that multitasking, for the most part, is a myth. You know, when people have too many tabs open, whether it's minimized or not, it still takes up energy, it takes up memory, it takes up space, processing power. And we're not actually multitasking. What researchers are deeming it is task switching. We're going from like one task to another. So as people go from social media to Slack to their email box to whatever.
Yep.
And the thing that it does, it's actually, it costs us three things as an entrepreneur or as a leader or whatever role or stage you're at.
Yeah.
Number one, it costs us time. The thing we think we're gaining, we're actually losing, because it could take, you know, many minutes, 5, 10 minutes.
You heard Jim say it, you guys. I'm just asking the facts, okay? But yes, he said it. It's costing the time that you think you're saving.
Yeah, going from one task, cognitive task, to another and back and forth, it can be a lot of minutes, because it could take anywhere from that 5 or 10 minutes to regain our focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing it costs us are mistakes. And we know this because we've trained a lot of doctors, but the research has shown that when like surgeons are trying to multitask, they'll make more errors. And so we can't, right. And then if that wasn't reason enough, besides time and mistakes, it also costs us energy. So I'm talking to the people who struggle with brain fatigue, mental fatigue, you know, this brain fog that we complain about, just don't have the mental vitality. And when you switch from task to task back and forth, you burn more blood glucose. And so it uses, you know, your brain is, it's about 2% of our body mass, but it requires like 20% of the resources.
So
and yeah. And so we want to make sure we could focus as best as we can. And focus is not something we have. Focus is something we do. Mm-hmm. And I can't really overstate this enough. That a big part of the book, Limitless, is about taking nouns and transforming them into verbs, meaning you don't have motivation, you don't have focus, you don't have creativity to make sales videos or funnels, that's the problem, I don't have these things, you don't even have a memory, you do these things. And when you take it from a noun, you turn it into a verb, it becomes a process. And that's really the goal here, is there's a process for focusing. There's a process for remembering. There's a process for being creative. There's a process for having energy, you know, creating energy in your body. There's a process for motivating yourself. And once you know that there's a method behind what looks like magic, that genius leaves clues. If someone is exceptional and exhibits a level of like limitlessness in a certain area of their life, they're doing something other people aren't doing. And one of the things they're doing is they're really concentrating and focus. It's just tough because we live in a world full of rings and pings and dings and app notifications, social media alerts, right? And so we're driven to distraction. And so that muscle is being overflexed. And so we need to kind of lean in and being present.
Right. I think of a gym master that's just disproportioned because they're, you know, working out too much on one muscle. And, you know, just to give you guys an illustration, I'm super, you know, I think of pictures, you know, to describe different things. And I think it's one of those things, it sounds so silly when we talk about it, oh, it's too much. But if you think about it, if you're flexing a muscle and your biceps are as big as a car because you flex that muscle all the time, but you got nothing to support them, I'm sorry, you're going to fall to the ground. And that's why there's such a struggle in, you know, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's in just life and business, period. So I love how you shared that. And I know this about you, but maybe our listeners don't. You read a book a day in a digital world.
Yeah.
I love that you're combating that by something you do, because you're like, I'm not going to suck into that, but you do obviously participate in this opportunity. Like we are now, we're live on technology, but how would you encourage someone, you know, maybe they're not the speed reader that you've become, mm-hmm. but to start flexing that muscle, what would be, you know, is, would you say, hey, start with 10 pages a day, start with book a week, you know, what would be your suggestion that way?
I love this. I think reading, I did a It's a Story once with Will Smith, who did the cover endorsement for Limitless. Mm. And we were in his trailer. He was shooting a movie, and I we just like, what are two things that you do to just be your best? And he's like, my non-negotiables, the two things I must do every day is I run and I read. Wow. You know, I have to do something physical, and I also have to do something mental. And I think reading is the best mental exercise. Reading is to your mind what exercise is for your body. Leaders are readers. If people see me on social media with Oprah or Bill Gates or Elon Musk or Richard Branson or these individuals, we bonded over books, right? And so leaders, if somebody has decades of experience in negotiation and investing and marketing and health relationships, whatever, they put it into a book, and you can sit down and read that book in a few days. You can download decades into days, which is the biggest advantage. And I didn't start out reading one book a week. I was actually inspired by one of my first students who read 30 books in 30 days. She was a college freshman, and this was quite some time, but I wanted to find out not how she did it, because I know, I taught her, but I want to know why. I'm always interested in motivation.
Yes, what motivates drives
people.
It.
Yeah, what's driving people. And I found out her purpose was her mother was dying of terminal cancer. I choke up thinking about this. Doctors gave her 2 months to live, 60 days to live. And the books she was reading were books to save her mom's life. You know, she was reading books on health and wellness, and she ended up doing so. And she attributed it all, to the great advice she got from her daughter, who learned it from all these books. And in that moment, I realized that if knowledge is power, learning is our superpower. That if knowledge is power, learning is our superpower. And it's the ultimate superpower, especially for entrepreneurs, because the faster you can learn, the faster you can earn. Because knowledge is not only power, knowledge is profit today, right? And so, I mean, all the treasures of your life. And so, I really, for me, I just started reading a book a day. I started by doing a book a week, I think it's very doable for everybody. Everyone just, the average book has about roughly 64,000 words, and the average person reads only about 200 words per minute. Mm-hmm. We routinely triple people's reading speed with better comprehension and focus, which is exciting. So what normally would take maybe 45 minutes, they can do in maybe 15 minutes with better results. But breaking it down to 64,000 words, 200 words a minute, that's about 320 minutes to get through one book. But if you divide it by just 7 days in a week, that's only 45 minutes a day. So I just want to talk to all the entrepreneurs that are listening that we could make 45 minutes in a day, right? Or two sessions of 20 something minutes. Yeah. And the big advantage you have, the average person only reads like two or three books a year. But if you're reading one book a week or 52 books a year, that's like a PhD or MBA in any category, right?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And I think all education comes down to self-education, right? Mm, and so while people are in school, you need to be able to supplement it with the things they don't teach you in school.
Absolutely.
Like a lot of things that you share on your podcast. And so I would say number one thing is to schedule it, right? If it's 45 minutes a day, that's a big jump for a lot of people. But if you could just, you don't have to start there, but take a small, simple step, like maybe just scheduling it and opening up the book, right? Mm-hmm. Reading one line, because I don't think it's like flossing one tooth. No one's going to floss just one tooth. Once you get started, you get the momentum, right? And so one line adds up to two, and little by little, a little becomes a lot, right? Because consistency compounds, and that's the way to become limitless. Limitless is not about, the way I define it, it's not about being perfect. It's about advancing and progressing beyond what you believe is possible, right? By unleashing, the limits of our mindset or our motivation, or potentially upgrading the methods that we're using to get those kind of results. But it's the convergence of mindset, motivation, and methods that really make you more unlimited and limitless.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, you guys, I hope you were paying attention, taking notes, because this was absolutely epic. So the biggest take back that I have from what you were just sharing there, Jim, is the fact that regardless of where it starts for you, the fact of taking that noun and creating that verb and really being like intentional about my new non-negotiable is to do and make it happen.
And yeah. And then when you schedule it, the thing is with entrepreneurs, we schedule a meeting with our investors, our clients, but we're not always scheduling our own personal growth, you know, like, and, you know, time that you block off for yourself to develop, because our value in society, nobody who's listening here is paid purely for their brute strength. Today, it's your brain strength. It's not like it was 100 years ago where it was muscle power. Today, it's your mind power, right?
It is.
And it is. Your brain is the number one wealth building asset that we have, bar none. You know, an individual or a team's ability to rapidly learn and translate that learning into action, you know, that's the ultimate competitive advantage, right? But the challenge is we weren't taught how to learn, right? Mm. School taught us what to learn, math and history and science, Spanish, great classes on what to learn. But there weren't a lot of classes on how. There was no class on concentration and focus and creativity and active listening and note-taking and advanced study skills, speed reading and comprehension, memory, you know, all these important subjects that were real life superpowers. Because when you could walk into a room and remember 20 people's names, you know, like, who are they all going to remember? You know, they're going to remember you. It's got to be the number one, you know, business etiquette, networking skill. It's how are you going to show somebody you're going to care for their business, their future, their finances, their health, their family, whatever it is you have the value to offer them. If you don't care enough, just remember like them.
That's, you know, so incredible. That's one of my favorite things, actually remembering people's names. But fun fact about me, I was homeschooled. So for people that were actually, you know, in the school system, you know, regardless of, you know, what school opportunity you had, it never excuses the fact that we have to always be students of life and to be intentional about that. Regardless of what gifts you were given, you have the deck of cards now. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? So I think that that's probably the other big thing too, because so many people are like, oh, I didn't have this gym, or I wasn't given that. It doesn't matter what you were given. What matters now is what you do with what you were given and how you use that to gain further knowledge. And then the last thing I want to add before we get to the next question was, you mentioned a couple of times, knowledge is power. I believe knowledge is power only when it's applied. Because we can know a lot of things, but how would you encourage someone to get over that hump of knowing all the things, but doing, taking that, like we were talking about earlier, that noun to the verb, what would be one or two tangible things that they could do to start creating that reticular activation system of like, oh, I know this is familiar. You know, this is something I fear. What would be your one or two things that could help them today?
Continuing the story with Will Smith, I took him through an exercise once that we were in Canada filming in the dead of winter, and he was filming at nighttime, right, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And we spent the day, one day together, and we go through a process that I called your dominant question, discovering your dominant question. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind it that all entrepreneurs could appreciate is our brain has approximately 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And a lot of those thoughts come in the form of questions. And the thing is, as you mentioned, the reticular activating system, part of what hijacks your focus are the questions that you're asking. It's a tool, right? To be able to hone in on what's important. And so a lot of the questions that we ask, some of the questions we ask more than others. And I call it like your dominant question. And this question, we found out Will Smith's dominant question is, how do I make this moment even more magical? How do I make this moment even more magical? And it was interesting because this was like, if you look at his life on social media and just, you know, what people know about him, you know, he's always looking to add like this joy and this magic to moments. And I remember it was 2 o'clock in the morning and it was very cold. We're outside in this little tent and they're taking a film break. And he is actually, his family is there with me and he's making hot chocolate for all of us. You know, even though there's a crew that could do that, he's bringing us blankets because we're cold. He starts cracking jokes and telling interesting stories. And he was living his dominant question. Mm. You know, my dominant question growing up was, you know, how do I become invisible, right? Because I would, you know, I would do a book report, but I would, you know, lie and say I didn't do it, you know, because if I was called to present it, or I would go to the nurse's office or sit in the back, you know, as I mentioned, by the tall kids. So that was my dominant question. Later on, it became, how do I make this better? Like I was labeled broken. So I was thinking, well, how do I fix this? Right. And I started getting answer, right? Absolutely. And so three dominant questions I would recommend everybody ask, and just pulling back, just realize everybody has dominant questions, one or two or three. And I would say first, self-awareness is a superpower. And so tune into what those questions are, like listen to that internal voice, you know, as you're journaling, or if you have stress, like notice what your self-talk words, where it's guiding you, because that dominant question is directing your focus, which determines how you feel, which determines what you're going to do. Interesting thing to do is, you know, find out what the dominant question is of your family, your significant other, your teammates, right? There's certain teammates that are just looking, you know, like, how can I, like a dominant question, like, how can I learn this easier? How can I add value, right? Your questions, three questions for taking knowledge and turning it into power, right? Turning into action, three questions. Number one, how can I use this? Like, I am obsessed with this question. How can I use this? So I'm listening to a podcast, or I'm on Clubhouse, or I'm, you know, reading a magazine. You know, for every hour you're spending in learning, I think we have to spend at least another hour implementing. So for somebody spending So if someone's spending 3 hours on Clubhouse, they need to be spending 3 hours at least taking that stuff they learned and turning it into action. Or if you're spending 3 hours reading a book, you know, 3 hours implementing the stuff that you learned. But number one, how can I use this? So that gets you the creativity, all the ideas that you could. Number two, why must I use this? Because why we procrastinate and don't just leave it as knowledge and ideas, not implement, is you're not feeling the results or the reward in advance, right? Who's counting on you to really show up today and follow through? You know, what are all the benefits that will come? And also what could be painful? Mm-hmm. You know, I remember, and I'm dropping a lot of celebrity names, and it's not because it's so funny because I live like I just, not from that world, but I do it because it's memorable. If I talked about like Walter Smith instead of Will Smith, you might not, you know, but next time you see his movies and Instagram, it'll remind you, oh, that story, you know.
Well, you mentioned magic and I'm thinking of Aladdin because he's the genie. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, I mean, he was the king of magic. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Because you have like the, you have the, you know, like the way you see things. Yes. And you imagine things, you picture it better. So how can I use this? Why must I use this? Mm-hmm. And so I, a few years ago, I get a message from Sylvester Stallone, right? And there's a big boxing match that was going on. For those follow Mayweather and Pacquiao. It was like the biggest one of the century. And he's like, do you want to watch the fight together? And I'm like, do I want to watch the biggest boxing match with Rocky? Yes, please.
I'm like, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And I go to his home and we're in his living room and, you know, on the screen there, we're watching, and I'm sitting on the couch here, right to my left is Sylvester Stallone. To his left on the other side of him is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, if somebody took a photograph of that sofa, people would be like, who photoshopped that Asian dude in that photo? It just looks just not, this isn't weird, right?
Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
But we watched the match and I always think genius leaves clues, right? When somebody's exceptional, they're doing stuff. And I was like, guys, like I have to, like, what does it take to be a champion like those guys? You know, the world's best.
Yeah.
And I'll always remember what Arnold said to me. He says, Jim, the difference between a champion and an amateur is a champion is willing to push past the pain period, you know, push past this pain period and do the things that are uncomfortable. You know, I really believe that after just spending time with some really, you know, high achievers, you know, famous and not famous, that the people who are the best, they get themselves to do difficult things, meaning that it's out of their comfort zone. And because while a comfort zone is nice place to visit, not much grows there, right? And I think that life's too short to be able to remain within the boundaries and limits and borders of like what we think is there. And so so this idea of pain and pleasure, because I remember I asked Stallone afterwards, I was like, I have this project, I don't know if I'm gonna do it. And he was like, well, will the pleasure be worth the pain? You know, so it's like looking at this, because if you could just, let's just be honest, like building a business is not easy to do. It's often glamorized, right? And we often see the highlight reel and the tip of the iceberg, but we don't see the sacrifice and the time and the energy, the resources, the faith, everything, the discipline, the skill sets, everything that goes into it. Mm-hmm. And we have to feed our business until it feeds us, right?
Yes.
And in the beginning, we're grossly undercompensated, right?
But if you
work hard and you're consistent and you're always learning and you're serving, you're kind, then good things will happen. And eventually it switches, right? Mm-hmm. But entrepreneurs really, we have to, like, entrepreneurs are weird because they're people who like won't work, you know, 40 hours a week for somebody else so they could work like 60 hours a week for themselves.
I know, I see that all over the place, but it couldn't be more true.
Yeah. And so what I would say to everybody here is it's not just working hard, it's just working, part of it's working smart. And part of working smart is not just learning this information, but applying it, as you said. So number one, how can I use this? Number two, why must I use this? So you have some energy around it, fuel. And number three, going back to scheduling, when will I use this? Because so if you don't take it from here, how can I use this, to why must I use this? I'm pointing to my head, my heart, and then my hands, when specifically, then that's, then we wonder why we sabotage, or we wonder why we procrastinate and we put things off. And that a lot of people know what to do, but they don't do what they know, because common sense is not often common practice. Right. And so we have, we really need to lean in and really design our days so that we're winning each time.
Absolutely. That's so powerful. So when you're talking about creating that limitless opportunity in our lives, I want to create, I'm a parent. I have two little boys, like I shared with you off screen. Sometimes they talk during the podcast. Today has been really good. Not to knock on wood, you guys, but I want to make sure that I'm raising a limitless child, and I want to give them just the most knowledge, the most, the best shot that they have to take in life. Because like you said earlier, life is too short. I almost thought I lost that opportunity as their mother, but it's one of those things that now that I have this moment, this present moment, what would be, you know, a few things that you would give as gifts to make our next generation or children limitless in this life?
Yeah. Limitless children. It's interesting. So I would say, first of all, that the life we live are the lessons we teach. The life we live are the lessons we teach. That I posted this on Instagram the other day. It's just like, how do you get children to read? And you see the parent on their device and the kids on their, you know, video game device. And but you know, they don't, it's not, it's better well done than well said. Right. I think just like with marketing, I think that we have to get back to don't say it, show it. You know, don't promise it, prove it. Right. And so I think that and when it comes to be a good example for the children, and just being, you know, for the people around us, even our teams and everything. So that's what leadership is. So make sure that you're being a good example for just everyone. And this is going to not only parents, but everybody, right?
Yes.
I would say number two, in no specific order, is just to remind them that they are responsible. And this is not an easy thing, but you know, you and I were talking about superheroes, and one day I get to introduce two of my, you know, superheroes in my mind together. To when they'd have dinner, it was Richard Branson and Stan Lee. Stan Lee, co-creator of, you know, X-Men and Spider-Man and, you know, Avengers.
All of it.
Yeah. And we're in the car. We're in the car, and I asked him, like, I need to know this. I was like, co-created some of my favorite heroes. Who's your favorite? And he said, Jim, it's Iron Man. That's why I have the Iron Man case on my phone. And he said, Jim, who's your favorite? And I said, Spider-Man. Because he had a big Spider-Man tie. And when I said Spider-Man, he goes, with great power comes great responsibility, right? Yes. And in his iconic voice. And, you know, I, maybe because I've had I had three traumatic brain injuries before the age of 12. Sometimes when I read or I hear things, I reverse it. Still. And I heard something different, and I was like, Stan, you're right. With great power comes great responsibility. And the opposite is also true. With great responsibility comes great power. With great responsibility.
I haven't had that reversed before, you guys.
Yeah. Dang. So when we take responsibility for something, we have great power to make things better. When we take responsibility for something, when we own it, when we don't blame, when we don't make excuses, because the truth is, going back to what you're saying, like, we all can make excuses that are probably valid, you know, like, and then what? Nothing changes, right? And I think that energy for making excuses and complaining, you know, we can't be upset by the results we didn't get from the work we didn't do, right? And so that's why it's so important to live it. So I would just remind children of their own responsibility for, we always, that children, remind them that they are responsible for their focus. They are responsible for how they feel. They are responsible for their behavior, because those are three things we could always control. Absolutely. We could always control what we put our attention to. We could always control what things mean and how we feel about things. You know, we could always control what we're going to do in that moment. And I think it's very important, because sometimes we live in a world where we're at the reacting to things. And we don't want children, much less older children, like adults, to be in reaction all the time. You know, I use the metaphor of a thermostat versus a thermometer. Mm-hmm. Thermometer reacts to everything. It reacts to the environment, reacts. Then human beings, we react to the economy, react to politics, we react to how people, someone treats us that day.
Yeah.
But the happiest people, and all the studies on happiness show this, is that the happiest people have the locus of control inside. Mm-hmm. They feel agency, right? A level of responsibility. And a thermostat. A thermostat doesn't react to the environment. It gauges what's going on, but it sets a temperature and the environment changes accordingly. And I would remind everybody, entrepreneurs are thermostats, right? They take invisible and make invisible because you have a temperature or a goal or a vision or an invention or something or a book inside your mind and you want to make it visible. So you work, you know, be able to take that imagination and turn it into action, you know? And so what I would remind everybody with the children is number one, be a good role model for them because they're not going to do as much as you say. They have these mirror neurons that are always imitating. And then also remind them of responsibility, even when it comes to even the weather, you know, unconsciously we could be, you know, well-meaning, but if it's, you know, not a quote unquote nice day out, like it's raining and something like that, and you show disappointment, then the child picks that up and they're like, oh, okay. So my emotions are being controlled by the weather. You know, that's something that's so subtle and small, right? As opposed to having, you know, we get to create the meaning, you know, and find joy in this process. And then the third thing I would recommend with the kids is teach them meta learning, you know, which is really learning how to learn this subject. Get them fascinated. It's because the content's always going to change. It's always going to change because there's always new information, right? The half-life of information, marketing or medicine or anything, you know, it just gets old. And so you have to always learn and relearn. So teach the kids how to do that because it's the ultimate advantage. If I was to put a fourth thing in there, it's just teach them how to love their brain, meaning I like to train people to ask this simple question. It's like, is this good for my brain or is this bad for my brain? Is watching this or playing this or eating this or this, spending time with this person or these thoughts, are they good for my brain or are they potentially bad for my brain? Right. And just having that little filter can help, you know, you to kind of control what's your own brain health and your
brings us back to the power of choice and how we can create the ultimate results in our life and become limitless. Jim, this has absolutely been incredible and I could talk to you all day, but I do know that you have other people in your life that you need to get to. Where can people get more of you in their life? Where would you like them to follow you? All of those links will be in the show notes.
I challenge everybody to actually to screenshot this. Like I talk about the power of taking one simple action to move things forward. And I would challenge everyone to take a screenshot of this conversation on whichever platform they're listening to it and tag us both in it, post it, and share one thing that you're going to do for a better, brighter brain. Just one thing, you know, like, because I feel like the fastest learners learn so they could teach, right? They call it the explanation effect. That when you listen to a podcast, you're on Clubhouse, you're reading a book or you're in a lecture and you learn with the intention of teaching somebody else as if you're going to give like a TED talk about it, you know, the following Monday, then you're going to learn it better. You'll focus better. You'll make it, you'll reflect on it. You'll own it. You'll take better notes, right? And it'll be, so you'll integrate it. And so one way of teaching it is by posting it, tagging us both so we see it and sharing one thing that you learned in this conversation. It could be a quote. It could be an insight. It could be an instruction, something that you're going to do. You're like, okay, I'm gonna prioritize my sleep this week. You know, I'm gonna set an alarm not only to wake up, but a set alarm to go to bed. You know, I'm gonna go to bed.
I love that, you guys.
You know, Jim talked about brain foods, avocados and blueberries and broccoli and olive oil and dark chocolate and some walnuts. You know, I'm gonna make a brain cupboard.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I know. And that's funny because it's like your refrigerator is a great example that what matters is what's on the inside, you know, the refrigerator, so just like it's what we're putting on the inside of us. And so I would say, maybe it's that, or maybe it's like, hey, I'm going to meditate because it's important to disconnect so you can reconnect, or I'm just going to focus on one thing today. I'm not going to try to multitask and have multiple, you know, windows open and everything. I'm going to understand that focus stands for fixed ongoing concentration until successful, right? It's just like, I like these acronyms, they're easy to remember. But you know, I'm gonna schedule my reading 10 minutes a day, right? Because little by little, a little becomes a lot. And I'll actually, because you'll tag us in it, I'll see it and I'll repost some of my favorites. And I'll actually gift a copy of Limitless to one person just as a thank you.
You guys, you have no excuse not to implement. Let's go.
Or take a picture of your notes and post that, you know, whatever you want to do. But the idea here is you're sharing it, right?
Yes.
Because I think that's the success formula. You learn so you can earn, so you can return, right? You learn because of what it's going to give you, what you're going to earn. But then you also do it because how you could give back, right? You could be able to pay it forward. And so I think that it's, you know, important that while we're out there doing our missions and everything, it's not just about making a dollar, it's about making a difference.
Changing also as well.
We actually donate 100% of the proceeds of this book to charity. So we built schools in Guatemala, Kenya, Ghana, full schools, classrooms, books, teachers, healthcare, clean water, and also Alzheimer's research for women. Because women are twice as likely to experience Alzheimer's than men, which is so tragic. And but the treatments are mostly done on, in the research mostly on male brains. And so we're funding research on women's brains and women's Alzheimer's in memory of my grandmother, who I lost when I was going through my learning challenges. And so, you know, I think that, and that's part of what drives us finding our purpose, right? What gets us out of bed and having energy is having a sense of meaning, you know, and clarity. And that was a wonderful time to check in with ourselves.
Yes.
In terms of like what's most important. So I would say that people could, I would challenge everyone to do that one thing. And then, they can find my stuff everywhere. You just search anywhere.
But you're pretty easy to find, Jim Quick. And we'll have all those links, no excuses, in the show notes. And we'll even have his book there. If you don't own a copy of his book,
then
you
can
certainly get a copy and realize that all of your things are going to amazing opportunities that can change other people's lives.
Yeah, we actually today put all the links of all our stuff in my Instagram profile. So if you want a free speed reading class, if you want links to the podcast, a demonstration of me taking people out on stage and memorizing all their names, it's all there at Jim Quick. You just have to spell it right, K-W-I-K, which is really my last name.
I love that. I love that so much. Well, you guys, with that, unfortunately, I have to let Jim go. But Jim, thank you so much for being our 100th episode here on Virtually Limitless. It was beyond incredible. And I'm so excited to see what everyone does implementation-wise and see the impact that we will ripple.
Yes. Congratulations again on 100 and good luck on the next 100. And thank you everyone who's paying attention and being here, because I think we're all on this journey to, you know, realize and reveal our fullest potential. And there's a version of us, each of us, that we haven't met yet, a limitless version. And the goal is to keep showing up every single day until we're introduced to that person.
So incredible. So with that, you guys, let's roll. Let's do this. Thanks so much again, Jim.
Take care.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.